Hello, Cubs fans. This is David in Alexandria, Virginia, and this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. You can learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy.
29 of the first 39 games on the Cubs' schedule are games against the National League Central. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about how the Cubs have played against divisional opponents so far and what we've learned about this 2015 Cubs team in those games. Chris Bryant and Addison Russell will play very large roles in the success of this team this year, and we're going to look at how they are doing just a few weeks after being called up to the big leagues. John Lester wasn't 100% healthy heading into the season, and it appears that his dead arm has come back to life. We'll talk about Lester, we'll answer listener questions, Kurt will give us his scary stat of the week, and we'll read some internet muscle flexes. All of these topics and more on this episode. It is May 3rd, 2015, and you're listening to the 313th episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast through a Google Plus Hangout.
Hi, it's Andy.
And this is Kurt.
Because we use Google Plus, we're able to stream these recordings live. If you go to ivmv.com/live at 8:30 p.m. Central on Sunday and Wednesday evenings, then you'll be able to watch this as we do it. We have some exciting news to share on this episode, but we're going to save it to the end of the show, so stick around until the end. So we've made it through the first month of the baseball season, and I have still not been to a major league or minor league baseball game yet. With the Cubs Midwest League affiliate moving to South Bend and now in the Eastern Division of the league, I think that's what it's called, I'm assuming, since it's all the teams in the East. I only have two opportunities to see them within a decent driving distance of my house this year. And by the way, if you did not hear it on the midweek episode this last week, Chris Hagstrom of the South Bend Cubs joined me for a discussion about their team. That's episode 7.15, the one right before this one. But Kurt, you were in Des Moines to watch the Iowa Cubs last night. What'd you see?
I saw less than I hoped to because I had my three-year-old and my five-month-old with me, and my wife. My wife did not distract me from the game, but the kids were mostly the cause of that. But I did, you know, it was still a lot of fun. I got to see Yoshi Wada start. He pitched fairly well. Arizmendi Alcantara's been batting pretty well, and Iowa had a really good game last night. I think he had a couple of hits. Matt Caesar, Christian Villanueva had a home run that the umpires reversed. And then PV got thrown out on that, so that was kind of fun to see. PV I don't go to a ton of minor league games, but I think it's more rare in a minor league game to see the manager get tossed, and so he was really up in his grill. That was cool to see. And let's see. Oh, and Darwin Barney was playing for the Dodgers AAA affiliate. So
is he playing second or short? Out of curiosity.
Like I said, I wasn't really watching the game, but I would assume he played second, but I don't know. Because I didn't really know he was playing until like much later.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he was in the game. And David Ardsma pitched for the Dodgers as well. So wow. it was like either the, you know, Cubs, Iowa Cubs, and then like the Dodgers were like a ton of
former Iowa Cubs.
Former Iowa Cubs. And then of course, Javi was back last night, so I got to see him. He did have a hit, but fairly slow night. It was fun. He seemed pretty comfortable in the field, and this is, you know, not related to baseball, but a couple times after the innings were over, you saw him kind of like goofing around, and like he caught a ball between his legs, stuff like that. Just to me, sort of said that he was kind of back and sort of comfortable being on the field again. So that was good to see.
Yeah, my parents were also at that game last night. They were celebrating their wedding anniversary.
That's why we were there.
Yeah, cool. And I want to thank Brock. I got a hold of him earlier in the day, and he put their names on their new big scoreboard out there at Principal Park, and announced them over the intercom or the PA or whatever. So my parents were pretty excited about that. And my dad, who is a White Sox fan, he reported back that WADA looked pretty good. And then my mom said that she noticed that Javi had really good contact. I think she said she thought he only had one hit, but she said that he was making good contact in his other at bats. So,
and that's I only saw one of his at bats. This is the best marginal analysis you could ever have. Like, I was actually at the game and I only saw about 10% of it. But we were there for our anniversary. We were there just to kind of like, oh, we were at the game and it was fun and we took the kids. So,
and yeah, so you basically
I apologize for not having a better report.
Well, everyone who has kids understands, right? And people who are like, what the heck? Or,
and you weren't even planning on going to the game, right? I mean, you just kind of popped in.
It was a 7 o'clock start, and you know, the original thought is like, man, the 3-year-olds, he's gonna be a mess by 8. So we didn't even. We weren't even going to go. We were just going to have dinner and go back to the hotel. But we just thought, you know what? Why not? And we got a little spontaneous and we went. So, and it ended up being great. He held it together for four innings.
Well, hey, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah. And he really loves baseball. So it worked out well.
Cool. Well, I feel weird that I haven't gone to a game yet. Normally, you know, in previous years, I went to when the Cubs were affiliated with in Peoria. I was able to go to those games right away in April. And then the last couple of years when they were with Kane County, it seemed like they either played in the Quad Cities or Peoria really early. So I don't know. I haven't had the chance to go to a game yet. I'm not going to go to Peoria just to watch Cardinals prospects, just to say I've gone to a baseball game. and you haven't gotten anything yet, have you, Andy?
No, I have yet to go to a game, sadly.
Yeah, I know.
I wish that weren't the case, but.
Yeah, this has been a really busy spring for me. So even like a spur of the moment trip up to Chicago just hasn't really, I really haven't had anywhere to fit that in. So hopefully I can get up there soon. So as I said at the top of the show, 29 of the first 39 games on the Cubs 2015 schedule are against the National League Central. Heading into the season, that really had me concerned because I honestly didn't think that our opening day lineup looked much better than last year's lineup did. I suppose that we thought Chris Bryant might make his way up during that stretch, but it was hard to put a ton of expectations on him in the first month of his big league career. I didn't think that we would see Addison Russell this early. So the lineup now looks a lot more threatening than it did on opening day. So, I mean, on opening day, when I looked at that lineup and I looked at that month and a half, I thought, oh man, we're going to be out of it before the season really starts just because the big pieces weren't going to be there quite yet. But really, I mean, the Cubs are holding their own. Obviously they have a 13-10 record right now. And they are 10-7 in those games against the division opponents. They're 6-3 on the road. And I believe they're 6-3 overall. And then I believe they are 4-2 on the road against the division. So it's kind of hard to like, I don't know. These last two games have made it kind of hard to be like, yeah, we're hanging pretty good with the division when they just lost a series and two games in a row to the worst team in the division.
Really, really, really worst team in the division. Yeah. Like the only bad team. So, yeah, that is a little.
Although, even though they are a bad team, I still feel like that team has. I think they have the potential to be a decent team.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be as bad as their record currently is, but
right.
I don't think they're contending for anything.
Yeah. But I don't know. So it's like kind of like, I'm kind of trying to think like, okay, well they've looked pretty good for the season. I'm trying to look at the season as a whole and not be too much of an alarmist over this weekend, But I'll tell you, Saturday's game against the Brewers really bothered me. That was,
oh man, that game was ugly.
Yeah, and
that was the one with the inside the park home run, right on the
inside the infield.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I felt like in years past, like the Cubs have played the Cardinals well, but they let a lot of teams off the hook. You know, teams that they probably should have been able to beat or were kind of evenly matched with. And, you know, I look at this year and the Cubs, they're playing the Pirates tough. We have a 4-game series against the Cardinals coming up, but everybody is beating up on the Brewers. And it would have been great to head into that Cardinals series with a sweep under our belts, you know. But then on Saturday, they make a bad pitcher look really good. And they had brain farts all over the place, you know. And I mean, brain farts, that's what made a grounder to shortstop into a little league home run, you know. And as far as that play goes, for all the people that criticize Castro for not having his head in the game, I expect you, if that's you, if you think that Castro is immature and can't pay attention and that's what frustrates you, then I expect you to be just as critical with Rizzo on that play.
Oh man, yeah, his throw to the third with nobody, with a ghost man covering.
Well, and just kind of standing there holding the ball. You know, it almost looked like he was going to throw it into the crowd.
Yeah, he kind of got swept up in looking at the crowd there.
It's easy to do. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I didn't see. I'm being quiet because I didn't see any of that game because we were in Des Moines. So I didn't see any of it. I did listen to part of it on the radio. And Pat was definitely worked up over.
You missed over a stinker. Incident.
Yeah.
Thankfully. Yeah, Len was actually being kind of harsh too. I mean, which is kind of, I think kind of takes a lot for him to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, but like before we lose heart, I mean, they're what, 10-7 this year against the division, mm-hmm. You know, so.
I think they're 10-8 now, but yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, these games are going to happen. So. You know,
right.
It's hard, and it's hard to balance too. Like, oh yeah, it's a young team, and of course, defensively, they're going to have some errors, but and some total screw ups. But you have to also balance that with, well, they're still Major League Baseball players, and they still should know how to play the game. So you don't want to give them too many excuses.
Right. But still, I mean, it's easy to forget that they were like 4-10 last year at this point against the division. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
yeah.
I saw last year they went 5-14 against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that was brutal. And I think in Pittsburgh they didn't win, did they?
Oh yeah, that sounds true. Right.
Something like that. Like, it was just insane. Like if they, and I think they've
they've turned the corner. I mean, I don't think we're going to see that stuff, you know, again for a long time.
Yeah, that how they've played Pittsburgh has you know, I think that short 2-game series that they had with the Cardinals is hard to, you know, especially right around opening day. And it, I don't know, it's hard to put a lot of stock into that. I mean, it was a split, I guess, but mm-hmm. They've played Pittsburgh, what, at least twice now. Seems like, and I think we play them again next week. Or within the next couple of weeks, but it's been encouraging to see how they've played, especially another team that's young and has a lot of talent. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've already beaten them four times. And that, yeah, you're right. They play them again starting May 15th, a 3-game series.
That's a lot of games in
the first
couple months. And then Starling Marte has really hurt them.
Right.
And McCutcheon's had a few clutch hits too, but they've kind of handled McCutcheon, I think, a little bit better. But Marte has been kind of their killer.
Yeah.
In the games they did lose.
I think the thing that was frustrating, really frustrating with Saturday's game, besides those brain farts that we talked about, was that the Cubs hit, or the hitters struck out 18 times. You know, Chris Bryant had 4. And it was kind of one of those things where it was a warm day, the wind was blowing out. I mean, it wasn't whipping out. It was just, you know, nice breeze, I guess. And that's the type of weather that we've been waiting for with this lineup. And they just whiffed. Literally.
Well, it's kind of almost the same thing happened today.
Right.
It was
right.
Good offensive conditions. And, you know, they put up 3 runs, but I mean, the power just hasn't come when it's needed on those ideal days.
Yeah. But to bring us back to reality, on the other hand, we're actually talking about expecting our team to sweep a team. Isn't that nice? Like I was thinking about that take because I was thinking, man, I wish we could have swept the Brewers going into this series with the Cardinals, you know, like it just would have been really nice. And these Cardinals like will not lose. Like, no. You know, they're beating up on the Pirates too. And it's like,
and it's tough to go like a four.
Haven't they won 3 walk-offs in a row?
I honestly don't know. I'm not sure. I've kind of looked at their scores, but I haven't paid too much attention.
Yeah, they're on fire. And then at, you know, 4-game series at St. Louis, that's rough.
Yeah. I just think it's really important that they've played this well against division opponents, and I think it's important to continue this for the next few weeks. You know, how many games are they behind the Cardinals now? Like 4.5?
Sounds right, yeah.
I think so. And yeah. You know, they have a chance to make up some ground in this 4-game series coming up, but, you know, deficits are difficult to make up when you're not going head-to-head. So, you know, if it's that's one bad thing about them having such a early season schedule that's so concentrated in their division, is that means later in the season it's going to be harder to make up games.
Boy, and their upcoming schedule is, I mean, they have St. Louis for 4, then they play Milwaukee for 3 in Milwaukee. The Mets come to town for a 4-game series after the Milwaukee series, and then they're back to playing the Pirates again. So it doesn't get any easier here for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, the next couple of weeks are rough, other than that Brewer series, but then, you know, they just lost 2 out of 3 against the Brewers.
Well, maybe
the next series goes a little better at Milwaukee.
And maybe the Cubs can kind of bring the Mets back to earth.
I hope so.
So
chop some shortstops.
Chris Bryant and Addison Russell, they've obviously been called up for a few weeks now, and I thought this might be kind of a good chance to check in on them. I mean, obviously we're talking about them on every episode, but we're kind of starting to get a larger sample size. And I think there's things I've been really impressed with them, and then there's things that I have not been impressed with at all.
Yeah, I mean, Bryant, I guess, you know, got his batting average just sort of insane for a while. He sort of is coming back down to earth lately too. And, you know, he had that 4 strikeouts in the first game and then kind of lit it up, and then he's been struggling again lately. Russell's, I guess, been more consistently average. He hasn't been horrible, but he hasn't been great. I mean, he hasn't had any multi-hit games. He's had, but he has had a hit in all but I think 2 of the games. I think he's currently on a 5 or 6 game hitting streak. So he's been sort of consistent, but not great. You know, his average is only 211. He struck out quite a few times, 19, I think. But I think a lot of the stuff is pretty normal for guys who are coming up. Like, they can get really streaky and have, you know, a few, you know, a handful of games that can really boost their numbers. But once pitchers get around to seeing them again, and again, like we just talked about, playing in the division so much, the other teams are going to start to get a book on them. And that can really bring their numbers down to earth after a while. But obviously the most surprising thing, I guess, would be Bryant not hitting a home run yet. I think every time he comes up, we sort of expect, okay, well, this has got to be the first one, right? You know, but it just hasn't happened yet. He has had some clutch hits and some clutch extra base hits, but we haven't seen that power come yet, but I think it will. So I guess,
you know, I kind of,
for me, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just, before we move away from his power, lack of power, I think that Bryant knows the power is there. And I'm wondering if he's not just trying to establish himself as a difficult out first. And I mean, he is a tough out because his ability to identify pitches is crazy good. I mean, especially like close pitches, it's really impressive as a rookie. And I mean, obviously there's some swing and miss in there, but I don't know. I kind of wonder if he's not focusing more. I mean, look, his OBP before today's game was 429. So, I mean, I just wonder if maybe he's not kind of focusing on that stuff, knowing it's in the summer, things are going to warm up and then he can kind of start unloading. I don't know. I doubt if that's the case, but I'm putting that on him. I'm thinking, I'm sure he's trying to not hit home runs right now.
Well, and I bet you do have to give him some credit because I don't have these numbers pulled up, but like I'm certain that a handful of his strikeouts have come on like a 3-2 count.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not striking out 0-2. He's working good counts. And so like a 3-2 strikeout's still a strikeout, but a 3-2 strikeout's way better than an 0-2 strikeout. So he, like Corey just said, he works good counts. He makes pitchers throw a lot of pitches. And I don't know. I think there's some reason to what you just said about that he's trying to work counts. He doesn't want to get like a name for being just like swing for the fences because right. He's a superstar prospect kind of thing.
He's got a 19% walk rate through Saturday's game too. Which is pretty good. I guess since we're on the topic of on base percentage, I was looking at just on base percentage and how that's just better team wide right now, you know, compared like right now their OBP is 327 as a team. That's ranks eighth in baseball. Last year, throughout the season, for the whole season, they had a 299 on base percentage. That was 28th in baseball, better than only the Pirates or the Padres and the Reds. So it just feels like the whole team is doing a much better job of working counts and getting those good at bats. And I mean, Rizzo's OBP before today was 480. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I would say, and as a fan,
pitches can't hurt either.
Right. Good point.
It's just been far less frustrating. I know that there have been games that have been really annoying, but as a whole, I think the season so far has been less frustrating because guys come up, they work good counts and getting on base. I mean, that's, you know, runners equal runs. So.
Right. Well, and really any loss can be really frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just, you know, in talking about the lack of home runs for Bryant as a team, they're not displaying a ton of power yet they're winning, which is a good thing because it looked like this team might live and die with power, but here they are playing in the cold months and generating runs without relying on the home runs. They rank 19th in baseball with 18 home runs, and Chris Coughlin and Miguel Montero have as many home runs as Rizzo, 3. So I don't know. That's kind of made me a little bit more comfortable with this team, is that I was afraid it was going to be just, you know, when they were knocking the ball out of the yard, they were going to be great. But then when that wasn't happening, they were going to really struggle to put up runs. But it doesn't seem like that's the case.
Yeah. When it's funny because, like, I don't know if it was Len or who, one of the announcers said, like, we're going to see a game with, you know, 7 home runs by this team, but it hasn't happened yet. And it'll be fun to see. It might not be 7, but it's going to be fun to see like a 4 or 5 home run game where the Cubs just offensively just crush it.
Right.
And that hasn't happened yet. And look where they are. So it's good to see a well-rounded team, but I'm also excited to see that team that just goes out there and just kills it on a particular day.
Yeah. With Russell, so, was there anything else you wanted to say, or go ahead? Sorry.
Well, one of the other sort of things we're going to look at is like, how do the other, you know, recent super prospects compare? You know, Mike Trout, for one, in his first few months did struggle. Like in his first month, he was called up in July. In his first month in 43 at bats, he only hit 163. He had one home run. His OBP was 213. He did have a good August, but only had 25 at bats. And then in September, again, in 55 at bats, he only hit 182. So, you know, here's one of the best. Well, I guess it's pretty easy to say he's probably the best player in baseball right now. And some might argue, but that, you know, in his first few months in baseball, did not have a great stretch. And it would have been stupid to freak out. So hopefully we can keep that same mindset with these guys.
Right. And that's not to say that they are Mike Trout.
Right. And then, so, and the reason I guess we chose those guys, it's like the hype around Bryant might have been even greater than Trout. You know, and Harper was pretty big. I remember him coming up, but you know, we're just sort of looking at hype comparisons and potential comparisons. So, those two guys come to mind. So that's why I kind of pulled them. But, Harper was a little more even in his debut. He started out pretty hot and kind of kept it up. He had a couple of bad months here and there, but he's been pretty good from the start.
To me, Addison Russell just looks like a 21-year-old that's kind of in over his head.
Well, and playing a new position.
Right, there's that too. But, I mean, he only played in 14 AAA games between the Cubs and the A's. So his big thing is just that he's not really making contact. You know, he's not making contact in the zone. His swing rate and his contact rate outside of the zone are pretty typical. I kind of wonder, I think if the Cubs can get a little more healthy in the infield, I wouldn't be shocked to see Russell get sent back down to Iowa for some more time.
And especially if like maybe Baez is tearing it up, you could see maybe a swap there.
Yeah. It's just real important to remember that he's a few years younger than Bryant and Baez. He's 21, and the average age of a low A player, so Midwest League, South Bend, the average age for those players is 21, and only 3% of AAA players are 21 or younger. And so here Russell isn't in the majors. So I think it's really important to remember that and to be realistic with those short-term expectations.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great reminder.
So let's talk.
And he won the game the other day, you know, with that, right, with that home run, the only.
Basically got Lester his first win as a Cub.
Right. There you go. What a transition. Let's talk about John Lester's zombie arm being alive.
Yeah. Yeah. He finally got his first win this past Friday, you know, thanks in part to that solo home run by Russell. In that game, he finally pitched 7 innings. He gave up 3 hits, 0 runs, 1 walk to 4 strikeouts. And his ERA dipped down to 4.71 from 6.23. So that was the deepest that he's pitched in a game yet this season. He didn't even have a quality start until his fourth outing. This was his fifth. And he hadn't broken 100 pitches until that game. But that fourth game, his first quality start was pretty good despite the 3 earned runs he gave up. He struck out 10 in that game and only gave up 1 walk. But his record is now 1-2. It could easily be 1-3 as the Cubs got him off the hook in an abysmal start against the Reds on April 13th, in which he gave up 6 earned runs, and the Cubs bailed him out by winning 7-6. But I felt like it would take him a little longer than the other starters to kind of get in the groove and feel like he had a little bit of a rhythm given his spring training setback with the dead arm and just kind of not having the same amount of spring training experience as some of the other starters. I didn't think it would take this long, but at least it seems like he's starting to pitch like his old self. And David Ross even noted that he seems to be back to the guy he's used to seeing. So that's a good sign, because I mean, if they're going to make a playoff push this season, it starts with Lester.
Yeah, and it's good to see. I guess you would rather have him go through this kind of dead arm period in April rather than September. So maybe lightening the load on him a little bit, and because he was only going 5-6 innings, maybe that kind of helped get him to where he is right now, and maybe that'll give him some more innings later in the season.
Yeah.
Kurt, anything to add on Lester?
No, not really.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see what his next start looks like.
Yeah, if he can put two good ones together, that would be, I think, a nice boost of confidence.
Is he starting? He'll be starting Tuesday's game, I think.
Wednesday would be Lester's start.
All right. If you would like to help keep this podcast going and you shop on Amazon.com, you can help us pay the podcasting bills by going to IVMV.com and clicking on the Amazon link on the side of the page. It does not cost you anything extra, and Amazon gives us a percentage of their profits for or from your purchase. So let's look at some listener questions. I usually ask for these on Sunday mornings on Twitter. We are at IVMV, and also on Facebook, IVMV.com/Facebook. David says, if the Cubs really look like they're in playoff contention and beyond for this year, do you see us trying to go after Kyle Loesch to get the last bit of veteran experience, or are we sufficient with Lester and Hamill?
I'd say probably not this year.
Yeah, well, what kind of stands out to me is just that Loesch has not looked good this year. He's got his 7.28 ERA. Number may be a little misleading, but his FIP is still around 6. So I suppose if you're looking at him, it's because of his 11 series of postseason experience. But I don't know. I think unless there's some injuries to deal with, I think the Cubs rotation, especially 1 through 4, is pretty set. And then whether it's Wood, Wada, whoever, I think they're probably better than Loesch. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, still some beat writers have talked about how they could see them going after some starting pitching, you know, around the trade deadline. And I don't know if I buy that. Like, I kind of thought they would wait for sure until the off season.
I don't know. I think that I could see them doing it if it's somebody that they would have the opportunity to trade for and then sign to an extension, you know, be able to sign as a free agent in the off season, and somebody that they wouldn't have to give up a lot of prospects for or anything like that. But I don't see why you would want like Kyle Loesch.
Right. Cause he'd be just like the end of season rental. Right. Cause I think he's a free agent.
Right. But he's not good. That's what I'm saying. Year. Like he's worse than anybody you have. So,
well, I thought you were going to the, like, they wouldn't get a full rental. Maybe they'd look for a guy that had another year or two of contract,
or somebody that they would know that they'd have a good opportunity to sign, even if he was a free agent in the off season. But
yeah,
I don't know. I
think Lester's a good case of why that doesn't work out. You know, I think the Red Sox thought they could re-sign him, but you know, you never know what a guy is going to do.
That's true.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
When it comes to contract talks.
Yeah. David has another question here. He says, I realize I'm a bit late for this, but over under on number of Clark ejections for the remainder of the season. I'm setting the line at 0.5.
I'd love to see one.
Yeah. Andy, what's your thought on this?
I don't remember seeing this question in there. Clark, as in Clark, the mascot?
Yeah, I believe that's what he's talking about.
Gosh, yeah, I mean that bear does cross the line quite a bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if the
Philly fanatic doesn't get thrown out, I don't think we have too much to worry about.
I mean, I'm gonna say under, but I really wish it over. Jeremy from Phoenix says, is it just me or does Pat sound much more energized during broadcasts? It doesn't get any better in baseball.
I'll agree that I absolutely love Pat, but I'm going to not answer your question and jump to another one, and that I am really disappointed with WBBM's audio engineers.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Pat is like, he's so quiet, and then Coombdog is blasting, and then, and this might be part of the, I listen on the app a lot, and then you go to commercial and it about knocks you off your seat because it's so loud. And that's probably not WBBM, but on the other side, I think that the Pat versus Coombdog difference is, it's like, it's just the audio quality is terrible.
Well, you know,
tell me if you've experienced this too, Kurt. Like Pat will be talking and then it'll just cut to commercial, like over when he's talking. Have you guys heard that before?
Yeah. I've sort of noticed, like, it almost like seems like Pat trails out and it's like, wait, he didn't finish his thought or something like that. Yeah, it is. There's some weird things going on.
And it's gotta be from the engineering side, because you know that Pat knows how to use his microphone.
Right.
I mean, it's not like Pat's sitting all the way back in his chair or leaning away from the microphone or anything.
Because it's consistently different. I mean, the levels are right. Totally off. But
I'll tell you, I think they just need IVMB in there.
Yeah, that's what I texted you guys. You guys need to get in there. But yeah. I do agree with him that, like, I absolutely love Pat. I think he is one of the best in baseball. I won't say the best because there's so many amazing broadcasters, but I love Pat.
So
he's one of the greats.
So you would say that the game that IVMV produced, the Cubs spring training game that we engineered, you would, Kurt, since you were at home listening, you would say that it sounds better than a WBBM broadcast?
It absolutely was better because the levels were even. Step one.
You hear that, Cubs? Yeah, I think Pat does sound more energized, to get back to Jeremy's question. You know, we talk about this being the seventh season of our podcast, and we've discussed a lot of bad baseball, but we've also been able to pivot and talk about the minors and the prospects and everything. Pat and Ron, Lynn and JD, they've been doing this every day. And, you know, there's probably about 500 hours of on-air time, and they deserve to have some fun baseball to watch and talk about. And I think they are having fun with it.
I'm going to do a little impression for you. You tell me who I am. Oh, I agree. I would agree with you there, Corey.
Yeah, that's a
coon dog. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. We listened to it. We drove back from Des Moines today, and we listened to the game. And I think coon dog said, oh, I agree, or I would agree with you approximately 37 times.
I'll tell you, and I like coon dog. I really do.
I do, too.
Here's the thing, though.
I was hard on him at first, but I do like him.
I do like coon dog, but that guy cannot do play-by-play. Oh, no. My gosh.
Well, I feel like he could improve at it. I think he'll get better, but maybe he won't.
I was listening to a game. It feels like it was in the last two or three days, and something happened, and he couldn't say it. I don't know. Like, it seemed like a fairly routine thing, but he couldn't. And I wish I could remember. He could not explain what happened. And Pat had to come in and do the color, but really kind of describe what happened. I think here's what it was. I'm trying to remember. I wish I would have like written this down, but it was something where like the play ended and he was still talking about what had happened at the beginning of the play. And it was like a pop-up or something crazy, or just like a ground ball to first. And he got so hung up talking about how, like, Bryant fielded the ball that he couldn't get to the end part. And I mean, you could hear the crowd. You knew, I mean, it made it sound like it was like a 20-second long play. About as long as me trying to explain that.
Right. Well, yeah, God bless him. But I frequently find myself trying to still figure out what happened after he describes it.
I know.
There was some oddities today where I thought for a minute, oh, this must be the inning where Pat disappears. And because coon dog was going kind of heavy on the play-by-play. But no, then Pat would chime in. I'm like, that's just weird.
Why I know, yeah. Pat's doing like color.
Yeah, that seems like he's been doing that a lot this season.
Yeah, it's weird. It is not you know, suited ideal to their strengths.
It's not the ideal configuration.
Right. Before I move away from Jeremy's question, though, I want to thank Jeremy. He sent a couple of comic books that he is a part of. It's like I'm not really into comics. I don't understand, or I don't know what like terms to use. It's kind of like what you would picture. This is how I understood it. It's like a kind of like a compilation, I guess. You know, like you used to get like CDs that were compilations. But it's like it's a anti-bullying comic book. Geared to kids, and he sent me a couple of them for my girls. It's really cool. The art in it is neat, and we haven't started reading it yet. So, but I'm assuming that the stories are pretty good. So I am going to put a link in the show notes to that comic book. So if you have kids or whatever, I think that's just kind of a I don't know, kind of a cool way to have those discussions about bullying and things like that. So really nice, though. Thanks for sending those, Jeremy. This next question is from at DJW4177 on Twitter. And he says, why is CJ Edwards only throwing out of the pen? And then another question is, do you want to see the Cubs sign Grant Balfour? I have to say Balfour. I don't know if that's...
Because it's hilarious. I know. He's a pitcher and his name is Balfour.
Either one of you guys want to field the question on CJ Edwards?
Well, I know that the Cubs are a little bit concerned. I mean, they want to have you be able to have this guy as a weapon. And he had a shoulder injury last season that limited his innings. And so it seems like they're really just trying to limit his innings, and that's a way that they can do it. They have not ruled out the possibility of him still being a starter by any means. But at this point, it seems like they want him to just not have a heavy workload so that they will be able to use him at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the other concern has been over his build equating to longevity. And like you said, limiting his innings because he's so slight and he's so thin. And this coming from a guy who's 6'5", you know, like 205. And I was CJ Edwards in high school. I was, you know, 6'3 and 170. So, you know, I can make fun of the skinny guys, but yeah, he's little. And I think that for whatever reason in baseball, skinny guys don't translate to long-term
durability,
innings eating starters.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea is pitching out of the bullpen can save some innings on his arm. And really that move to the bullpen also puts him on a faster track to the Cubs potentially. I mean, it is possible that we could see him later this year if he remains pitching in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And then as far as Balfour, is it Balfour?
It's Balfour, I believe.
Well, we're going with Balfour. He was DFA'd by the Rays, but then he signed a minor league deal with them. So, yeah, I guess that's no longer an option. But he's walked a ton of guys these last few years, so that's not really anything you want from a reliever.
Yeah,
2014 was bad for him, and
he's really old.
He's been in six games this season, and he's pitched. He has an ERA of 6.23.
I wouldn't advocate for going after like a 38-year-old pitcher, whatever the heck he's.
He is 37.124.
I'm sorry, he's barely 37, so but he's 37.
Yeah,
dang, he was almost older than me. I wonder what the list. I should look at the list of players that are still older than me.
It's not many.
That list is dwindling.
Yeah. Jamie Moyer is not pitching anymore.
Right. Steve says, this isn't exactly a question, but the moment when Rizzo and Russell were laying on the turf after their nasty collision on Saturday might have been the most panic-inducing moment since the Bartman inning.
Well, I mean, let's not... I don't know, but I agree, well, man. When I saw it in slow motion, it looked like a broken rib type of scenario to me, and my heart skipped a beat for sure.
Yeah, I heard it on the radio, and that's almost worse because
right.
Pat's really good at explaining it, but I was like, oh my gosh, like what's happening? Because then you're just things go through your head. You're trying to like, are they up yet? And
It's a good thing that wasn't the inning that Coom Dog was doing play by play.
Well, he's supposed to be color, so maybe that's why you didn't know what.
But yeah, Pat. When Pat's concerned, you definitely stop and worry.
Well, I was so concerned. I was listening to it on the radio as well. I went in to the living room and turned it on right away so I could see it, and that made it worse when I saw it.
Huh.
But yeah, it was a scary moment.
Yeah, and I mean, just the fact that both appear to be okay and both are playing, that's a good sign.
I was surprised after I watched the replays that both of them stayed in the game. That blew my mind.
They're so young that, like, you know, like babies' bones are really soft.
Yeah, right.
Addison Russell's bones aren't like fully formed yet.
He's a soft skull.
Still has that spot in his head. Don't press on his head. Don't hit his squatchy.
He goes to jump to get off that bench in the dugout.
60-day deal, soft skull. Squatchy hit.
Oh, man. Let's see. JC says, did the hashtag fake rally live up to the hype placed on it by Corey?
I'm confused.
On last week's episode, I talked about how I kind of missed the fake rally. So
I've seen it around every once in a while from people still, other than you.
It's still poking its head in there. I don't know. I just, if they're going to lose, let's have a fake rally just for old time's sake. Then he also said Vogelbach is a ball crushing man child, which,
yeah.
The funny thing about Vogelbach is that he's not hitting a ton of home runs. So if you have not heard, Vogelbach is off to a great start in Double A Tennessee. His slash line. Oh, man. My computer auto-corrected. I put slash line and then the slash line, which I don't know why I put that in my notes, because I should be able to look at three numbers next to each other with slashes in between them and know it's a slash line. But anyways, it auto-corrected slash line to saltine.
His saltine numbers. Tell us his saltine numbers, Corey.
His saltine is 377, 478, 623.
Well, that's down from before, but right. Still pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. He actually had a little stretch there where he went hitless, I think, three games in a row. But he's got three home runs on the season. He's drawing walks at a 16.3% rate. He's only striking out at a 13% rate. We talked last week about how this really, it may make him look enticing in trades, and especially since he's doing this at a higher level. You know, it's easy to, it's hard to look at somebody just like totally raking in single A, you know, and to be able to project that out. But as he moves up and continues to play well, that's a good sign. And, you know, this is when teams can start paying attention to prospects that they may want. Bobby says, hear any good trade rumors lately?
Not any good ones, because the ones that I saw came from Gordon Wittenmeyer. And he was talking about how the Cubs are checking in with the Phillies about Hamels, and that he also, I'm quoting MLB trade rumors, that he expects the Cubs to target starting pitching at the trade deadline. Other than that, I haven't heard much.
Yeah, I kind of wondered after Ryan Hannigan got injured with the Red Sox, I kind of wondered if the Cubs might be able to move Wellington Castillo to them. As it turns out, they called up a catcher from the minors. But I suppose that possibility is still there. I mean, Hannigan was handling the catching duties after Christian Vasquez had to undergo Tommy John surgery during spring training. So I guess they're kind of having to dig deep for catchers, and you would think it'd be that type of situation where the Cubs might be able to say, hey, we got this guy that's capable of starting that we're using as a pinch hitter.
Who's like 27.
Right. Jordan says, can we all agree that the sideline reporter for CSN is just unnecessary?
I would say in baseball, all of them are generally unnecessary, the sideline reporter.
Yeah, I think maybe you can make a case for it in the playoffs. But yeah. But for the most part, yeah, I totally agree. Justin says, according to my calculations, Bryant will not hit a home run this year in the majors. Then he says, our thoughts, and he requests this.
Oh, no, man. Dude, don't do it.
Okay, that's
enough. Small sample size, small sample, sample size, small sample.
Yeah, I think he will hit a home run. I'm going out on a limb. And
if we're putting the over-under at one, I'll take the over.
I think he just wanted to hear small sample size.
My ears are bleeding.
All right. Mike says, should we be concerned with Soler's start?
I'm going to say no.
Not yet. I think he's referring to the immense number of strikeouts. But you know, he's still putting together some hits. He's had some clutch hitting, and his average isn't horrible. Yeah, it's the strikeouts that are concerning, and
well, really, it's
I think
it's,
they'll level out a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's that he's having trouble with that slider, and pitchers have picked up on that. He saw the slider about 20% of the time in 2014, and he's now seeing it about 25% of the time. So I think this is just part of the adjustment process with these young players. They come in, the players don't know how to handle them. Then the pitchers figure it out, and then the players have to adjust to what the pitchers are doing and how they're handling them. So I think it's just kind of a back and forth thing. And, you know, right now I think it's probably identifying that slider and being able to lay off of it, which, you know, it seems like there was a yesterday early in the game. It may have been his first at bat. You could tell that he was throwing a slider and he started to go for it. And then you could tell he just, like, as soon as he recognized it, he kind of checked his swing, and you could almost see the wheels turning in his head as he kind of stepped back. And I think we're just going through that process with him right now.
Yeah.
Mike says, is Schwarber a possibility for this season? Three catchers already, really young, nothing above AA, but he is killing it right now.
I don't think so.
No way. Not if he's a catcher. I mean, if he moves to the outfield, maybe, but catcher, no way.
Yeah, that's
catchers just take too long to develop.
And there's no need for him right now at the catcher position. But yeah, like you said, I think if they need somebody for right field or something, I think we could see him this season. But I think that's the Cubs' plan B is for him in the outfield.
I do want to make one more comment about his previous question. Basically, any question that says, are we worried about fill in the blank yet? That is Soler, you know, Bryant, Russell. Baez. If you've put in any of those, are you worried about them yet? The answer is going to be no. Until, you know, like, this is going to be this full season.
Kurt, don't speak for me.
For Kurt, I definitely will get frustrated with performances, like individual performances. But if you're going to throw in the, are we worried about their long-term performance yet? I'm going to say no to every single question that comes in to that regard.
Yeah, unless it's Edwin Jackson. Are you worried about Edwin Jackson?
I'm not worried about him.
See, that was my
never pitch it.
That was my segue to Mike's next question. Edwin Jackson looked dominant last night. Will he get a chance for more higher leverage situations?
Boy, if some of the other guys continue to struggle, I would say so. I mean, the weird thing is that the Cubs keep committing errors while he's on the mound, but he's pitching well enough to be considered for situations that are a little bit more
pressing.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Mike says, what impressed you most and concerns you most about this Cubs team after the first month of the season? So what impresses us most?
Being several games over 500. That impresses me.
Yeah.
Being still in it late in games, you know, no matter what the score is, it still seems like they have the opportunity and the ability to win.
Yeah. I think mine is the team's ability to take good at bats. Just it almost seems like top to bottom we're seeing guys take good at bats. How about concerns? What concerns you most?
Certainly the strikeouts, the number of strikeouts concern me, but it's not, I don't think it's gonna be a long-term concern because I know the team is gonna strike out. I think that the challenge is with this many strikeouts and then the recent lack of scoring, like that's a bad combination. If you're striking out and still hitting for power, I can handle that, but striking out and not scoring is hard.
What about you, Andy?
I would say the bullpen injuries is pretty concerning. Phil Koch has, I thought he was going to be pretty solid, and he's been struggling. I don't know. I wonder if like the Cubs are going to go to James Russell at some point soon, if, you know, if this keeps up with Coke, because Russell's been pitching pretty well from what I understand in Iowa.
And Grimm is doing a rehab stint
right
in Iowa.
He just
now
joined the Iowa Cubs. But man, the bullpen I was actually pretty confident in at the beginning of the season, and now it feels like it's pretty shaky.
I think what concerns me is what does this team do when they have a few games like Saturday's and today's games? What do they do in a slump?
They go watch the Blackhawks.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's it's how they react to things and how quickly they can get out of that slump. That's what I think is, and it's impossible for us to know right now, just because these are all guys that haven't really ever played together before. And so that's what I think is the most, I think really this whole season hinges on that, on do they all slump at the same time, and how do they turn it around when things are going poorly?
Yeah, and I think this Cardinals series will be pretty telling. Like, can right. you bounce back from losing to a not good team and then playing well against a really good team?
Yep. Yeah.
Without having any momentum.
Yeah. And I think the other thing to touch on, like from past seasons, it's been like, I remember scary stats and things like that being like, oh, the offense is terrible, the bullpen is terrible, and the starting pitching is terrible. And I think to Corey's point, maybe if one of those three is not so great, like, can the other two pull them through that slump?
Yeah. Clint, who is at Super Cambot on Twitter, says, do you think this recent run scoring drought is advanced scouting catching up to these young hitters?
I think a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, certainly, yeah, I think could so. Be a factor. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it's like 100% the cause for it, but I'm sure it factors in.
Yeah.
Josh says, what are your thoughts on Madden's strategy of hitting the pitcher eighth thus far?
I think it still is going to take, you know, I think it's going to take a lot larger of a sample size to be able to tell how successful or just how worth it was.
I sort of wonder, just recently I've kind of thought, is this just as much Madden saying, look, I'll do some weird things, not for our sake, but like for his own team's sake, like I'll try some different stuff. I don't care. Like, I'll throw the book out the window, because I think historically pitcher batting eighth, you know, if it were proven to be the absolute strategy, everybody would do it. But I wonder if it's just as much like a mental game for Madden, for his own players.
Right. And
I know maybe that's a stretch too, but like, I think it's negligible long-term, the benefit of it. But I think it's him just saying, look, we're playing baseball. Like, I'll do some weird stuff, and at the end of the day, like, we'll try what works.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I like it. Although I'm not a huge proponent of it. But I'm not going to get into any arguments with anyone over it. Stats show that it leads to about two more runs per season. So yeah, like you said, Kurt, it's negligible, but why not? You know, I don't know. I really don't care one way or the other. If they went back to batting ninth, okay. And if for the entire time that Madden is the Cubs manager, they bat eighth, all right, whatever. I just really don't care too much. David says, Anthony Rizzo hit by pitches this season, over under 42.
Oh, man.
Seems plausible.
It's got to be under, man.
Yeah, I just don't want to see him get hurt. And that's right. His body's taking a beating right now. And he wears he doesn't wear that big shoulder. And he's not really, or elbow pad. And he's not really taking them in the arm. It seems like a lot of them are body shots.
Well, he just crowds the plate so much. And then we saw Segura get hit in the helmet today. And mm-hmm. I posed this question in our predictions episode, is like, is he going to have to change how much he crowds the plate at some point if he continues to get hit at the clip that he is?
He's got to be covered in bruises.
Yeah. I think this is just pitchers saying, like, So you can, I mean, because he's before he was a young guy and that changed his approach and got close to the plate. Now he's like a legitimate all-star, really good hitter who stands right on top of the plate. And I think pitchers are going to keep doing this until he backs off a little bit. Yeah. So that's really his choice, whether he wants to or not.
He seems to be willing to take some punishment to get on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ryan says, curious if nothing else, in the bottom of the eighth today, Castro stepped out of the batter's box and shoved a handful of sunflower seeds in his mouth. At least it looked that way. So are there pockets in their pants, or maybe I saw it wrong? I guess people stash cans of beer in their pants for slow pitch softball, so maybe that's possible. Maybe we can meerkat. Maybe someone can meerkat out of the box when they get a hit with a phone, pull it out of their pocket so they can respect 90.
Well, this is a little known fact about Castro's physiology is that he, you know, like web shooters on Spider-Man, he has sunflower seed shooters in his wrist.
They're not very accurate, but they do shoot sunflower seeds.
Right.
Yeah. I think he reaches in his back pocket and gets them. I think. I mean, I don't know.
He's got him, like, a bunch of loose seeds in the back pocket, like he doesn't know wrapper or anything.
Or he just goes to his batting gloves with pine tar, and then he just sort of starts doing that, throwing them at his flavor. Face. That's why they stick. That's why they stick to his lip.
they have pine tar on him.
He's got sunflower seeds all over his face. I don't know. It's Castro and sunflower seeds. That could be a whole episode.
I love it, man. Never quit the sunflower seeds, darling. Oh man, I love it.
Keep using them for your warm-up swings too, please.
And the last one here is Dallas from Australia. He's at Cub Down Under. He says, "Hey fellas, what's impressed the most so far? Base stealing, bullpen, starting pitching, or the great at bats? Lots to be happy with." So I kind of already gave my answer, right? Yeah. Right now for me, I think it's the great at bats.
Yeah, I would second that. The base stealing's been weird and cool, but I don't expect it to continue.
Yeah, same thing. Just how competitive this team seems to be, even late in games, and even if they don't have the lead, they seem to have a lot of fight in them.
Two out run scoring. Let's throw that on top of the at bats. Right. Like they scored a ton of runs with two outs.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you enjoy our podcast, you can leave us ratings and reviews in iTunes or Stitcher. Those help our discoverability in those directories. And to show our appreciation, we will read the reviews on the show and play Chuck Mangione in the background. This first one is from Dirty Dizzle 44. And the title is Awesome Cubs Podcast. It says, "Well, opening night sucked, and it's ridiculous that three such huge baseball fans aren't familiar with the Hot Foot prank. Dudes, watch an 80s blooper VHS." I still don't know what a Hot Foot prank is. But these guys are still the best, and it's a good time to be a Cubs fan. Come for the Cubs talk, hang around for the occasional beer discussions, pray for the baseball card shows. So that was nice. Chef Dad 28 says, great podcast, but your predictions are way off. You need to think the Cubs are going to be a home run hitting machine this year. Keep up the good work, from a Southside Cubs fan." So thank you to Chef Dad 28 and Dirty Dizzle 44 for those kind reviews. Again, they help people find our show. And another way that people can find this podcast is if you tell them about it. If you know Cubs fans, maybe friends, coworkers, or if you belong to the various forums on Facebook, Reddit, Google+, wherever, we would appreciate it if you would tell people about our podcast. So, Kurt, hit us with the scary stat of the week.
Okay, well, I've been entirely too positive lately. And I don't want anybody to start calling me a rah-rah too much. So I'm going to go negative this week and pick on something kind of obvious, and that is the Cubs' strikeout number. They're at 222 already as a team. And that is not first in baseball. It's second in baseball behind the Astros, which are at 231.
And winning a lot of baseball games.
Yes. Yes, but probably also hitting a crap ton of home runs, which
I believe they are leading.
I think they lead in the league in home runs, maybe. But yeah, so the Cubs, have 222 strikeouts, and of those 222, Jorge Soler is responsible for 38 of them. So he's almost doubled up his nearest teammate, which is Fowler at 22. Not quite there, but yeah, he's way up there. And I think, you know, this one's fairly obvious. We knew this was going to happen to some degree, but they really need to get that number down.
Well, you know, we've heard scarier negative stats, you know, negative stats that were much more scary. So I can handle that one. It's easier when the Cubs are what, 4 games over .500.
It is. Yeah. But okay. So I just have the numbers up here. So yeah, the Astros 231 strikeouts with 40 home runs and the Cubs 222 strikeouts with 18 home runs.
Yeah. But so, you know what they say about a strikeout is that you're not hitting into a double play when you're striking out. That's what I tell the kids on my peewee team. Just keep just swinging.
Corey calls the drag bunt every time.
Yeah. So for my peewee team, we're working on strike zone recognition right now. I don't know. Did I tell you guys about this?
Do you have like a sabermetrics? Like,
no, they swing at every freaking pitch. So
how old are they? 7?
They're about 9. Okay. So what I do now is that about every 10th or 15th pitch, I just throw it like halfway up the backstop. And starting with tomorrow's practice, if they swing at any of those pitches, they have to run to the foul pole and back.
They're gonna go to the Dominican and
the other thing that will earn you a run to the foul pole and back is if I see your hands on anybody else. I've had enough of the
wrestling. And if anybody is on the shed too, right. Get off on the shed.
Oh man, we actually did have a kid on the shed. Now that you say that, he threw his glove and it landed on the shed. All right. So we'll wrap this episode up with some internet muscle flexes. We go through Cubs.com articles and the various Cubs social accounts to find fans being, I don't know, I guess I hate to use the term idiots, but close to it, I suppose. So if you've never heard this segment before, you'll quickly pick up on what type of fans these are. Do you guys have any
knee-jerk reactions?
Yeah, and yeah. Do you guys have any this week?
I do have one.
Oh, okay. How about I'll do one, and then you can do one, Andy, and then I'll finish it up.
Sounds good.
This one kind of goes along with last week's muscle flex that I read. mine are both from Facebook. So I think it said, it was about John Lester's game on Friday. So he gave up 3 hits and no runs. And this person says, not good enough for $155 million. 3 hits, no runs. In what, 7 innings pitch?
Not good enough.
Nope. Try again. Try next time, John.
No hitter every time or else get out of town. Or else eat that money.
All right, go ahead with yours, Andy.
Sure. Mine was responding to the Cubs Twitter handle, one of their tweets about today's loss to the Brewers. So this person tweeted, all caps, by the way, all caps. What is happening? How can we be losing to these scurbs? I was like, oh, they misspelled scrubs and spelled scurbs.
That's just how they say it in Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're losing these scurbs.
Oh man! Speaking of the Brewers, I just saw this on my notifications from MLB at Bat. Brewers relieve manager Ron Renicky of his duties.
Ooh,
what? That's what happens when you take a series from the Cubs. You lose your job.
Maybe Dale Swaim, next manager of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so here's the last one. This one says, I hate to say it, but all these non-Cub fans were right about Bryant. He was called up way too early. He's horrible. He has no patience whatsoever. Any real major leaguers don't strike out 4 times in a game. 3 strikeouts is even borderline. You better have the stats to back up the strikeouts. Oh, that's no patience, and like no Major League Baseball player has ever struck out 4 times in a game.
And just generally speaking, like, there's already people commenting on just various internet, you know, social media outlets. It's like, this team sucks and stuff. It's like,
have you not paid attention in the last 4 years?
Holy cow. I mean, good Lord, how quickly we forget.
Right. Seriously. All right. Well, we do have some exciting news to share. Our app is in the iOS App Store. Finally. When we announced that we were developing an app, I said that that app would cost $1.99. Well, one of the reasons that it took us longer to get public, I guess, is that it will actually be free. It is free. So go into the App Store and search Ivy Envy. You can listen to our podcast episodes directly in the app. You can get to our Facebook and Twitter through the app, and there's a voicemail number in there that you can call directly from the app. You just click on call or voicemail. I don't know what it says, but click on whatever involves a phone, I guess.
Contact. And then call the show.
There you go. So you can, if there's something that you would like to call in for us to discuss, you can do so right from the app. Or if you want to email in a question, you can do that from within the app too. You know, we've always kind of done the weekly listener questions through Facebook and Twitter, but now we can do it through the app too. And also, I will be able to send out push notifications when I release episodes, so that way you will know when they're out. You won't be able to listen to the Daily Northside Recap from the app. It's just this podcast, the IVMV podcast. So if you're not familiar with the Daily Northside Recap, that is a daily podcast that I do that's under the IVMV umbrella, but separate from this show. It's available every weekday morning, and in those episodes, I recap the previous day's games in the Cubs organization, from the Cubs down to South Bend. It's an easy and quick way to keep up with the prospects in the minor leagues. So this week's episode is brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. A big thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors, Jeremy, Dave, Dizzle, David, Dallas, Charles, Steven, Stewart, Jane, Cass, Tony, Shane, Michael, John, Andrew, Richard, Craig, Rick, Luke, Tony, and our associate producers, Matt Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Tim Marr, Jason in New Mexico, and Jason Nunn. Travis in Ames, Iowa, Ryan Burke in London, and Jason in New Mexico all jumped on the Patreon campaign this week. So thank you very much, guys. We paid for this podcast out of our pockets for years, and because of your support now, we don't have to pay out of our pockets, and we're able to do things like with this podcast that I really didn't think we'd ever be able to do, like a second show a week, a daily show, and now a free app. So if you listen to this podcast and you feel like we provide a service that's worth at least a dollar a month, then head over and check out our Patreon campaign. We finally got our new IVMV pint glasses shipped to us. I'm really happy with how they turned out. Much better than the old ones we had. So we will start getting everything shipped out here soon, caught up with all of our Patreon perks. And we'll also be doing our Google Plus Hangout Game Watch for May here pretty soon. We couldn't fit that in April, and we'll get back those back up and running this season. So check out the Patreon campaign at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Or you can find the link on our site at IVMV.com. Thank you for downloading this episode. The Cubs now head to St. Louis. They have four games coming up with the Cardinals. And the next off day for the Cubs is 2 weeks from tomorrow. So we will be back to record Wednesday night on the games between now and then and anything else that might come up with the Cubs. Thank you for listening. And until the midweek episode, go Cubs.